And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back. And yeah, we are indeed covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Boomer has had me cracking up. I'm not even going to tell you what it was. It was just funny. It was just too funny.
Just funny.
It was just funny.
Okay, guys, listen. He's not going to tell you. I was going to be super nice. And you know how Phil forgot to put in his picks last week?
Oh, you had to bring it that way.
Yeah,
bring,
I'm just going to say it. Well, that's how it is.
All right, I'm in here now.
I was
going
to be nice and go on and fill out your bracket for you, your pick-ems, so that then you could go back and change them so you wouldn't have to worry about missing a week.
Let's talk about the rest of it.
But it wouldn't even let me.
What was the rest of the story, Boomer?
The rest of the story is I went on to your, like, because I can go see each person, but you didn't click the little button that said you can let administrator make your picks.
That's right.
So now I can't help you.
And maybe I didn't, because I didn't want you to change them after I put them in. You big turd.
See, you think I would do that. I would not do that.
No. Oh, by the way, what place are you in? First place again? all right. Hey, listen, just too much fun. All right, so we're gonna kick off this first one. And by the way, I did have a couple more texts. I got a Ken from Harvest says, zombies are hideous creatures who wander around having no thought except to devour the brains and spread their disease. Simply put, zombies are liberals. There's a, by the way, if you've not seen it, I challenge you to go ahead and Google it. Bob Hope, back in the heyday of when he was doing movies, Bob Hope was in a movie about zombies, and somebody said that very kind of quote to him, which may be where Ken from Harvest got it, and his response was, you mean like Democrats? He said that in a movie. It was hilarious. I had the clip for the longest time saved on my phone. Let's see what we got here. Yep. Okay, let's move on. Where am I? Right here in the studio. I got my notes. So EV madness. Let me just jump into number one of the Triple Dipper and just say, it's amazing what happens when capitalism is not allowed to be capitalism. It's amazing what happens when capitalism is supplanted by people who have neat ideas and socialist tendencies, a.k.a. the Biden administration. So you cannot come in and create a false market and expect it to be sustainable in a capitalistic society, because eventually the market will always prove itself out. The market will begin to self-correct, and it can be good or bad. And so if you have created the false impression that you've got this great thing and we'll give you the money to even buy it, which means you're subsidizing the market, then eventually, if it's not going to have the efficacy, the survivability, the viability that a well-designed and well-implemented private sector would have generated over time, then guess what's going to happen once the subsidies run out? People are going to go, yeah, I'm done with that, and the market's going to collapse. Meantime, what have you done? You have used socialism to retool the whole market. Let's talk about what's happening with electric vehicles. Right now, the Biden administration, with collaboration from the Dems who controlled the House before and still control the Senate, threw money into some of the major spending bills that came out last year with major purpose intended for the green energy sector, the Green New Steel, I like to call it. A part of that Green New Steel was the subsidization of the electric vehicle market. And then, oh, by the way, they're continuing to put, you know, draconian laws and regulations in place. They call them things like tailpipe emissions regulatory, you know, burdens. And it's just, you look at it and go, God, y'all, all you're doing is gerrymandering a market. I'm going to be quick to say right now, if you want an electric vehicle, I'm all for you. Go get it, man. And you know what? You'll probably look around and find what is the best one out there. I hope you find the best one out there that's going to actually be sustainable and not find the best one out there that has a government subsidy attached to it that allows you to buy it when maybe you wouldn't have bought it before. Keep in mind, once you buy it, there may be other stringers. Like, oh, that's right, then we've also got to have the charger that gets mounted in your garage. Oh, that's right, then we've also got to have the charger that's somewhere else when I take a trip because I've got to have a way to charge it. Then there's things like, oh, I didn't know the battery replacement could cost that much. Oh, wait a minute, I can only go how far on a full charge? You see, there's a lot to it. And over time, I mean, let's think about the automobile. The internal combustion engine revolutionized the world. The world. How long has it been since the car was invented? Well, it's been quite a while, 150 years. And then mass production started with Henry Ford and his assembly line. We're looking at, what, 110, 115 years? And you had things like Model A's, Model T's. And then next thing you know, it grew. And then next thing you know, it was not just the novel thing that was a sort of a niche market. It became the thing that was more ubiquitous. And people realized, if I got this, I could get my farm to market produce, you know, there before it spoils. I can expand my capability. I can have shipping. I can ship things all over. I can expand my own. I can farm better. And next thing you know, you've got industry, farming. And just the average citizen coming home from World War II, suddenly guys who had you know, motorized vehicles at their beck and call when they were in the service said, you know, I want one myself. And next thing you know, you got guys that are doing like car hobbies. They're hot riding. They're doing all kinds of stuff that no one ever done. And it's basically what that has, y'all. It has the stamps of the free market all over it. What you've got there that I just described to you is what happens when the private sector comes up with something. And then someone else decides to invest their money and take the risk and grow it. And somebody else goes, I like that one better. I'm going to buy it. And then someone else says, there's a market out there. I'm going to invest in that. And we're going to do differently. We're going to make it more unique. And there you go. Who got into the electric vehicle market first? Elon Musk. How did he do it? He invested his own capital in it. He went out and he got other investors. And then he developed something that was very niche. It was a boutique market, but he's created a name for himself. He got rich off of it. Why? Because he built a product that people wanted using private sector innovations and dollars. Now what's happening? All the major manufacturers are building them. Why? Because they have to. Because they're being told they have to. Because they're being told that they will basically not get the benefit of lots of cash flow going to other auto manufacturers if they don't. Because they're being forced to by regulatory burdens. Y'all, this is crushing the free market. Let's just jump into some sources here. So I will tell you this. In my opinion, the industry is finally pushing back. First story out the gate, Fox News. Dateline today. Biden administration faces pressures to drop its electric vehicle mandate regulations, with one quote saying, this is alarming. Really? So the automotive and the oil and gas industries are finally saying, would you just stop? It's not realistic. It's not workable. You're going to crush us. And I'm going to tell you how they're going to crush you. So the Biden administration right now, according to this article, is facing an onslaught of opposition to its proposed fuel economy standards, right? The Department of Transportation recently allowed for public comment. 62,900 public comments came in on their new corporate average fuel economy standards. All kinds of opposition letters from a variety of stakeholders, including 26 states and the energy, agriculture, and automotive industries. Wow. One quote from Will Hupman, who's the American Petroleum Institute's vice president, said, the proposals right now are just another attempt by the Biden administration to restrict Americans' freedom to decide what vehicle fits their needs and budgets. And he says, combined with the EPA's proposed tailpipe emission standards, these rules amount to a de facto ban on cars and trucks using liquid fuels, which he just points out, basically what you're trying to do is gerrymander the market. That group, by the way, is the nation's largest fuel lobby organization. How about this? Ford spoke up. Thank you, Ford. Ford, which is posting record losses right now, $5.4 billion in losses. Ford is facing massive penalties because these new 58-mile-per-gallon standards are supposed to be in place by the year 2032. 58 miles per gallon. Well, that's cool, but is it doable? Well, Ford is saying, look, here's the quote. You ready? Ford has never had to pay civil penalties under the programs instituted for fuel economy restrictions. And yet, by the new standards, Ford would likely pay upwards of $1 billion in civil penalties. $1 billion in civil penalties if these proposals were finalized. The Ford Motor Company says this is alarming in and of itself, and it threatens substantial economic hardship for Ford. Ford is finally figuring out going woke with the government is not necessarily a viability plan, all right? This is not how you survive. Ford's letter also said that the payment of these civil penalties really serves no policy objectives. It's a punishment, y'all. It's a punishment. Well, you didn't do what we said you had to do, but we couldn't. Too bad. Pay up. Last piece there, according to the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, an industry group which represents many major auto manufacturers, companies overall could face upwards of $14 billion in noncompliance penalties under the proposals being put forth, impacting one in every two light trucks in 2027 through 32. What they're saying, and that's right down the road. That's we're almost there. Y'all, in the design and implementation phase of auto manufacturing, this is like tomorrow. this is here for them. They're like, by 2032, that's less than a decade. They want us to double our fuel efficiency standards. All right, that's just that. What about what's happening with the actual EV manufacturing? Oh, I'm going to tell you as soon as we get back from this break about maybe they're overstocked and maybe they're actually stopping production. Oh, maybe they're actually not even going to build the plant they were talking about building. This is what happens when you gerrymander a market and you use socialism to drive capitalism. It doesn't work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense like a superpower. I'm in this number one of the Triple Dipper EV madness. So I just told you a moment ago, I went through an entire spiel there about what happens when you have socialism trying to make its way into capitalism. Well, it does not work, y'all. It does not equate to, you know, good business. All right, it's not the free market. If you gerrymander the market and you create a false market, sooner or later the market's going to self-correct and the bottom could fall out. How about this? Story off the Wall Street Journal. Dateline yesterday afternoon. General Motors is delaying the opening of a large electric pickup truck factory in Michigan, the latest sign that the, quote, auto industry's enthusiasm around EVs is starting to wane as sales growth for these models slow. Told ya. GM said Tuesday that its Orion assembly plant in suburban Detroit would start to make electric versions of the Chevy Silverado and the GMC Sierra by the end of 2025, a year later than originally planned. The automakers, okay, read between the lines. Interpret, you ready? The automaker cited the need to, quote, better manage its capital investments while aligning with evolving EV demand. What does that mean? All right, because this is my role in life, let me go ahead and just assist you with the interpretation of what you just heard. Auto industry's enthusiasm. That means they're going sour on it. It's starting to suck. They're like, we hate this. We don't even like it anymore. Then again, maybe they like it some, but they sure don't like it like they thought they were going to like it. In fact, they've been told to like it, or just, you know, it's a turd sandwich, here, eat it. That's what's happening right now. All right, auto industry enthusiasm. Next line. Better manage capital investment. Interpretation. We are hemorrhaging money right now. I don't care how much they throw at us. How many tax dollar subsidies can we possibly get? We're still hemorrhaging money. $5.4 billion in losses from Ford. We can't afford this. That's called better managing your capital investment. Next line. Evolving EV demand. Ooh, we're aligning with evolving EV demand. The frick does that mean? What that means is people aren't buying them. We're being told we have to make them. We're being told you'll make them or else. And we're making them. And they ain't buying them. What are we going to do with all this inventory? I don't know. Frick, maybe we can sell them to Ukraine. I don't know. The slowing momentum for EVs comes even as automakers roll out many new battery-powered models to compete with market leader Tesla. Oh, the market leader Tesla. The one that invested heavily, did a lot of research, and got in on the market early? That's right, Tesla. Sales of EVs were up 51% through the first 9 months of the year. Great. Much faster than the broader market, which is about 14%. Great. Except that the pace of EV growth was actually 69% last year. Oh. Okay. So what's happened there is you're seeing an 18% overall decrease in market trend on EVs. Also, by the way, it does say this is good. The average price consumers are paying for EVs has also fallen sharply. Wonderful. However, Ford's supply of the electric Mustang Mach-E was about 3.5 months. What does that mean? Their supply is about 3.5 months. I'll tell you what it means. They got a backlog of inventory that nobody's buying. That's what it means. That's more than double the industry average. What does that mean? That means that usually you wind up seeing vehicles stacked up, you know, about a month and a half deep. In other words, with average sales volume, they project where they need to be. They make the cars. No, not in this case. Holy cow. We got 3.5 months worth of inventory, and they're telling us we got to make more. What do we do with this? The Wall Street Journal reported that Ford is also considering canceling an entire shift of its factory production on its electric F-150 Lightning pickup as sales for that model also wane. I mean, gosh. Then there's a luxury EV startup called the Lucid Group, struggling to hit production targets, reporting Tuesday that it produced 1,550 of its Air sedans. That figure brings its total factory production for this year to 6,700, raising questions about whether it can hit its goal of 10,000, and its market share fell 5%. This is what happens when you create a falsely inflated market. Eventually, the market will self-correct. I got a call real quick. I'll take it. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay, I reckon. But I'm thinking a lot of the stuff from Ford and other people are simply all the hem-haw they're going through and everything. They are simply dragging their heels at the moment for good reasons, in my opinion, to see what the next election comes out as.
Yep. I would concur with you, my brother. I think you're spot on. I think they're hoping and praying that somebody with the common sense is going to come in there and go, you know, about all that, and make a change.
At least a little bit of common sense. Yes, sir. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. I don't disagree with that. And we're going to wrap this up after the top of the hour, but I don't disagree with that at all. I think Brian's spot on. I think that what you're seeing is, we're just not going to be able to hit that mark. We'll try and make it next year. Or we're not going to open that factory. We're just going to wait and see if we can do it next year. Yeah. We're going to have to wind up laying off an entire shift at the F-150 Lightning plant. Maybe we can bring them back next year. What is next year? The election. Yeah. And once the Biden administration and all of its regulatory madness is out of the way, and who knows, maybe the Republicans take back the House and the Senate, suddenly it's a new day. And they get to breathe in the deep, clear, cool, fresh air of capitalism. Wow. But you know what? It gets deeper. Boomer and I were talking before the show. There's things about EVs that you didn't even know were there. Like, did you know that there's a special tire for EVs? I did not know this. I wonder if they last as long. Questions upon questions. Yeah, we'll cover all that when we get back. And then don't forget, coming up at 3:30, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, will be on with us. We'll be switching gears going into the library wars. He's got some feedback on that. We'll also get his thoughts on what's happening with the congressional district down there in South Alabama, new CD2, Congressional District 2. And as of the first day of qualifying, nobody signed up, Republicans or Democrats. Nobody signed up. That just feels a little weird. It's like, when has that ever happened? Well, it's a brand new district. Nobody even knew it was going to be there. Is somebody going to run for it? Wouldn't it be a hoot if nobody ran? We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covered down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're still in number one of the triple dipper, EV madness, electric vehicles, EV madness. But I got to pause momentarily. Breaking news right now as we speak. January 6th is happening all over again. It's an insurrection in the U.S. Capitol. Right now what we're looking at is Hamas activists have taken over the rotunda of the Capitol. They came in force, and they are now sitting there protesting in the rotunda of the nation's house. And I want to know when they start having the new January 6th commission getting the old band back together, talking about the awfulness of what is happening. Will these people be held without due process? Will they face 10 years in jail for daring to show up on the Capitol grounds? I want to know. Anyway, Hamas activists are protesting in the rotunda of the Capitol right now, demanding a ceasefire. And it's a weird deal. Capitol Police are there. They're arresting people one at a time and just taking them out. The crowd is now half the size of what it was. I'm talking about there was about 100 people on the floor of the rotunda. Anyway, my understanding is, and I haven't confirmed it, but my understanding is that Rashida Tlaib, the how did she get elected elected official in Congress, who is a Hamas sympathizer with a Palestinian flag flying outside of her office, she was actually speaking to a group just near the Capitol, and then this happened right afterwards. Well, doesn't that sound familiar? Wait a minute. Isn't that what Donald Trump and Mo Brooks did? I mean, isn't that where we are right now? This is the new standard, right? Yeah, we'll see. I doubt it. Back on EV madness. All right, so here's the deal. It is interesting to me that there are so many stringers that come with owning an EV. First of all, there's the thing they call range anxiety. We've talked about it on the show. There's a whole new psychoanalysis out there, a determination, a diagnosis, if you will. You can have range anxiety. You're just not sure you're going to get there. Will you have enough charge to get where you want to go? I don't know. Range anxiety. There's that. Then there's a whole idea of having to have not just the car, but you have to have a specially installed charger in your garage or wherever you're going to park it. And so you're going to need to have that and have it hooked up correctly so that you can make sure that you can, you know, put the charge on. And I'd hate to think what happens if you live in, like, South Alabama, the hurricane comes through and you have no power for 5 days. Whew. What do you do when you're trying to evacuate the hurricane zone and you're in an EV? Whew. Anyway, then there's the whole thing about what do you do if you're traveling and you have to find a charger? How long does that take, actually? Well, it depends on whether you find a high speed or a low speed. Why would anybody even install a low speed? I don't know, but some do. You can pull up right there, and if you're down to a quarter charge, which for a guy with a gas tank is, I got a quarter tank, I can go for a while. You know what that means. You know where the next gas station is. For the person who's got a quarter charge left, they don't know what that means because the market's not ready for it yet. And so they pull in. Oh, my gosh, I made it. Woo! Oh, look. I have to wait in line for 30 minutes and then plug in and wait another 40 minutes. Oh, I'm going to be here at Bucky's for the next 2 hours. That's what that means. And then there's this. How about accessories? And some of which are not really. You know what? This is not accessories. Boomer, can you have a car without tires? My recollection is no.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Not yet. Not until Back to the Future comes true.
Sweet. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Right.
InsideEVs.com had an interview with a company called Tire Rack. It's a major, you know, tire distributor. And the question was asked, do EVs need specific tires? I've never heard this before. Have you?
No. Custom tires or specific tires?
I hold in my hot little hands the answers to your interrogatories. Do EVs need special tires? The answer to this question, according to Tire Rack, is yes. Yes and no, they say. It depends on what you expect from your EV. Well, I expect it to roll. How about that? Do you want maximum range? I would think yes. If so, then an EV-specific tire will be the way to go. They make EV-specific tires.
EV-specific.
Additionally, did you know this? By the way, I'm going to take it. I'm going to chase a rabbit for a second. It irritates me. You look at the styling cues and the things that go into EVs. They always make them look sharper. I mean, and I were talking before the show. They do this on purpose.
They have all these different new designs. Ooh, I like that.
Headlights that look totally different and radical and like they just flew in from, you know, some episode of Star Trek. All right, how about this, though? Additionally, some EV-specific tires also come equipped with special sound dampening abilities, usually in the form of sound-absorbing foam inside the tire. This helps minimize tire noise to ensure the cabin of the electric car remains quiet as possible. I want that in my Jeep. Why is that only in an EV? Why are they putting foam in their tires and not ours?
Here's the
summation of this question. If maximizing range and minimizing sound isn't important to you, you can use a standard tire.
I'm sure that it costs a hefty penny for those tires, too. Wait, let me ask you this. Are they normal tires? Like, are they still good tires?
I don't know.
Do they last as long as normal tires?
I would imagine they are. Oh, wait, do they last as long?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The answer is no.
What?
Next question. Do EV tires wear out faster than non-EV tires? Tire Rack says mostly yes. Tires on EVs tend to wear out more quickly than when installed on a comparable internal combustion vehicle. What? So it's not that EV tires wear faster, but rather that tires wear faster when installed on the EV. Well, isn't that the same? Why? The commonly quoted figure in the tire industry is 20% less wear life with an EV. 20% less. So do they
not make them as well, and so they only last 20%?
Is this like I've heard the old story about, you know, like when, you know, pantyhose, they always had runs in them, that somebody invented the non-runnable pantyhose and the pantyhose makers bought the copyright and wouldn't let it out because they need them to expire so people will buy new ones. I'm guessing. I don't know.
This is nuts.
This is stupid, man. So basically...
Do the EVs come with these tires already on them?
I don't know that.
I'm wondering. Or do they, hey, if you really want maximum range, go down to my tire buddy over here, and he can hook you up with some EV tires, and they'll go longer.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Buy a tire? Hey. I got some tires in the alley. You want to buy a tire? Right here, buddy. Typically, the tires fitted on EVs will experience a 20% decrease in wear life, mostly due to the added weight of EVs because of the batteries. That's it. So what we're looking at here is, Boomer, when you buy a car, do you want it to be able to drive as far as it can?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Do you want it to be loud and noisy? No. I'm so sorry.
No.
Okay. Do you want your tires to like just wear out quick?
Nope.
You're screwed, dude.
Like, come on.
Just saying.
I love that they're trying to sell us these things.
Unbelievable. All right. So there's that. Yeah, this is what happens when you enforce socialism on a capitalistic market. States impose EV fees to offset gas tax shortfalls. So here's the next thing. So how do states make their money to pay for their roads? Oh, that's right, gas taxes. So you mandate that the market shift to EV, and suddenly states who pay for their roads are going, wait a minute, hey. And next thing you know, revenues are down. How do we fix that? Well, we find a new way to tax your EV. Oh, awesome. So the political debate, according to Straight Arrow News, the political debate over electric vehicles is continuing as individual states begin enforcing new EV registration fees. For instance, the state of Texas, a Republican-led state, back in September of this year, electric vehicle owners now pay a $400 first-time registration fee and $200 for every annual renewal. So that's your tag. So whatever your tag already costs you in Texas, drop an extra $200 on it, and you're paying for your tag. Yeah, they're getting you, dude. Oh, you didn't stop by the pump and pay a little something to, you know, Uncle Tex? Well, we're going to make sure we get you. Do you like that car tag? You have to have it, don't you? We know where to find you when you show up for the renewal.
Ouch.
President Donald Trump appealed to auto workers that the push to EVs is going to make their jobs obsolete. And in places like California, said Ron DeSantis, they are forcing all new cars at a certain date and pretty close to the future to be electric. And he expressed concerns over the government pushing EVs. Let's finish this up. You ready? How about this? They're desperate right now. Desperate. So the Department of Treasury, the U.S. Treasury Department, has now introduced brand new guidelines, according to a story that just came out on Fox News. If you're buying an EV, $7,500 tax credit. Oh, but people don't want to buy this thing and then have to apply for it and then get their money back maybe later on. Okay, what can we do? Because the story says here on Fox, we need to be able to boost EV sales, they say. Oh, they do? It's the government's job to boost the private market sales? How are we going to do this? They're going to make new guidance issued this week on how a $7,500 EV credit can be used as a point-of-sale rebate. On site, you can assign it to the dealership and get a $7,500 deduction in your price at the point of sale. They're desperate right now. Desperate right now. In spite of all of this, as we finish this sucker up on EV madness, in spite of all of this, Democrat New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, you know, the one who just decided to curtail the Second Amendment inside the city of Albuquerque, I believe. She just came out yesterday, issued an executive order requiring every state government agency in New Mexico to transition to an entirely electric fleet by the year 2035. So in the next 12 years, every government vehicle is going to be charging overnight to see if they can get there. That's New Mexico Governor, uber-liberal Democrat, Michelle Lujan Grisham. EV madness, y'all. I'm just saying, when you gerrymander the market and you try to make it something that it was not meant to be, you wind up with socialism trying to inject itself into capitalism, and that never works. We're going to head to a break right now. Listen, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Don't forget, bottom of the hour, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, calling in. Yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, making it just cool to be a conservative while we save the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, I just got a text from the lovely Charlene. She said, might want to check that the protests that I said were in the U.S. Capitol. I'm looking at one news source saying it's in the U.S. Capitol. She said it's actually in the Cannon office building, so it's part of the Capitol complex. Anyway, she's watching it. I'm watching it on mute, so I can't tell for sure what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing right now on Fox says Jewish group at the Capitol calls for ceasefire, but it may sure enough be in a different building. Nonetheless, you still look at it and go, okay, it was an insurrection when you know Trump supporters did this. Is it insurrection now? We'll see. I doubt it. Text messages before I get to the bottom of the hour. John from Huntsville says, since these EV cars don't need tires, I think they should replace them with giant maple bacon donuts. And then if you get hungry, you eat one of the edible tires. Thank you, John. Good input. Mark from Red Bay says, crazy Uncle Joe needs an EV presidential limo and a Corvette. Nice. Yeah, can we make the Beast electric? I'm not sure that'll work. Bruce from Hazel Green says, we bought a new Mustang E, and the tires that were on lasted for about 25,000 miles. Wow. New ones were over $1,500. We'll not ever buy another EV. Wow. Are you hearing that? Wow. Okay, so bottom line, I just had to put new tires on my Jeep Gladiator, right? It needed it. I didn't realize how badly it needed it until I got the new ones on there. But I went 63,000 miles on that one set of tires. And oh, by the way, it cost me about $1,500 to put them on. So I got three times the amount of tire life. Well, no, I got 2.5 times the amount of tire life he did.
Wow.
For the same price.
Wow.
Wow.
No thanks.
Yep. Scott from Athens says, what a time to be alive. There's an Islamic caliphate taking over the Cannon House in D.C. Can't wait to see how this plays out. Yeah, it's going to play out like the liberals want it to, probably. John from Brownsboro, mechanic here, he says, EV tires are slimmer. They have firmer sidewalls to reduce rolling resistance to compensate for the tire tread as a softer compound like a race tire to maintain better traction at the expense of faster wear. Wow. Okay. He also points out, John from Brownsboro does, the first cars made were steam-powered and, yes, electric. Electric wasn't feasible because they could only go a few miles. When the gas engine came around, it crushed both of them with its range. That's right, but it did it through the private sector and the free market. Better mousetrap. They haven't yet built the better mousetrap because the free market is not allowed to do its thing and brew it over time. The government's trying to force it into play earlier than it should be. Either that or the free market is not ready to buy in yet. Brian from Huntsville also says 54 miles per gallon. I didn't know that Ford made a motorcycle. He also says, plus an average tire has at least 5 gallons of petroleum in it. EVs will be running on their rims. Wow. JT Lacey Springs, the EV Mustang, I believe, has exterior speakers to create an engine sound. I've seen that. I've seen that, by the way. They sell, you can buy these things that make it sound like you got an engine when you don't. Like, okay, if you just want an engine, if you like the sound, buy the car. My suggestion. Crazy Joe from Decatur, who only communicates in memes, sent me a picture as a bumper car, like the kind you see in the fair, sitting there, and it says Tesla for sale, range anxiety. Wow. Roger from Ardmore, if you look at a lot of other vehicles, you'll notice that many of the internal combustion engine vehicles have smaller gas tanks, get about the same miles per gallon versus miles per charge. My wife bought a Toyota CHR, has only a 13-gallon tank, gone about 350 miles per tank. It's about 27 miles per gallon. My F-150 EcoBoost gets a little over 20 miles per gallon. Yeah, my Gladiator gets about 19 to 20 miles per gallon. Joe from Birmingham, 6.2-liter Hemi, 2.4-liter blower, 707 horsepower, worth every penny for that gas guzzler tax. Digging it, man. Must be driving a Hellcat. Liking it. Rich from Muscle Shoals, electric cars predate the internal combustion engine. You're the second person to say that. Why do I care? I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm thinking, he says first electric car was, I got it. I see what you're saying now, Rich. Thank you. He says, why didn't they take off? I wonder why. You're right. Because they couldn't compete. That's right. The market took over. Ken from Harvest. Ken from Harvest confirms the quote earlier about zombies. He did get that from Bob Hope. My memory is like a steel trap. Marcus from Huntsville. The Biden administration found out new ways to continue the Obama-era government bullying. Obama did it with healthcare. Biden's doing it with emissions. Great point, man. I'll let him write my monologues. And then Jeff from Indiana. Hey, he says he's going to go get some blue spaghetti out of his leg. Great show today, he says. All right, listen, you do good, Jeff from Indiana. We love you. Blessings on you. Bless him, Jesus, and all his procedures he's having right now. We'll have you back on the air as soon as you're ready, buddy. All right, we're taking a break. Coming right back with John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Y'all stay tuned.